lesson 44 in the book of Ephesians. And we'll start out with verse 8 again. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Verse 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You know, we left off last week talking about apostles and prophets and how their work was to be done at that time. They went out to spread the word. They went out to secure the word. They went out to show you that it was the word of God. And we also know that we have a completed word of God today, that we don't really need the apostles and prophets, if you will, because we, once again, we have a completed word of God. Now, let me ask you, was the word of God, when Paul wrote this book of Ephesians, was it completed then?
Yes.
No. And we all, it wasn't completed. See, it's still adding to the word of God. Timothy would be one of the last books that he had penned. But if you think about, as we looked in Corinthians, about the gifts, the tongues, the healings, they're not in here. So by Ephesians, when he writes the book of Ephesians, those sign gifts to the nation Israel to show, primary to the nation Israel, which the Gentiles started getting the sign gifts to show that God was no longer with the nation Israel, that he was changing the program, they're not in here. But you have churches out there and people that still believe that sign gifts are in power, don't you? So what do you have to do, guys? You have to what? Rightly divide the word of truth. And it may make a lot of people mad. It may make you mad on the inside. Like, I still don't understand this, but, well, you know, it's okay. Just believe the words. But he says evangelists, pastors, and teachers, they're left in operation today, if you think about it. Verse 11, he gave some evangelists and some pastors and what? Teachers. Now, evangelist, as we left off a little bit last week, is somebody that goes out and preaches the gospel. He is the spreader and bearer of the good news of what Christ is doing today. He is somebody that goes out and brings what? What did I just say? Glad tidings, good news. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, I'm going to read this to you. You can stay right there where you're at. Do the work of an evangelist. That's what Paul told young Timothy. Do the work of an evangelist. He is telling Timothy, as a pastor, if you will, a young bishop, if you think about it, to go out and do the work and go out and carry the good news to the people. That's the ideal of what an evangelist is. It's somebody that goes out and really breaks in new territory, isn't it? Well, you know, you think about who else goes out and breaks in new territory in a modern term. What do we call them? Not preachers, but we send somebody out on missionary. Yeah, missionary. That, but the really Bible term that you're really looking about is evangelist. So a missionary is almost the same as an evangelist. Well, it should be an evangelist. He goes out and takes the gospel to a place where it isn't believed and hasn't been established and people are not saved. That's what that guy does. Many of us has probably supported missionaries that really do that work. You know, we supported Dez, if you will. He's in South Africa, and he would go up through Africa and Kenya and stuff like that and spread the good news of what Christ is doing today. And he went and established some things. Brother Bob was in China all the time. You know, he would send help to him. You know, it's very not surprising, but the thing is, there's underground churches over there. You know that. And there's tens of thousands of Grace School of Bible tapes in those churches. So they're studying the Word of God, rightly divided, and that's exciting. They may take something else from you, but, you know, that tape is there. So I'm just thanking God right today, we don't have to worry about going underground to study or praise in our Lord Jesus Christ. But if you notice, he breaks in new territory. He has the special capacity to encourage people to go. Now notice in verse 12, the purpose of evangelists is for perfecting the saints. The evangelist mission ministry is not just simply to get lost people saved, but what else is he to do? Perfect the saints. Okay, it's something that it's just not so much you tell a lost person how to get saved. You got to build them up and all. So the passage says that the purpose and the function of evangelists is to perfect and edify the body of Christ. An evangelist, by definition, is somebody who takes the gospel out where it isn't, where it wasn't before. But his purpose in it is to perfect the saints. Okay? And you think about this for a minute. Evangelist is not limited to one locality. He goes out, he starts something, he goes out, and he keeps moving. But there's a certain church that sent him out. The local church is very important. We'll see that shortly. The evangelist ministry is sort of a traveling ministry, if you will. The only evangelist identified in your Bible, you know who it was? Who? Not so much Paul. I mean, they even mention evangelists.
The only evangelist in your Bible?
That's identified in your Bible.
John the Baptist.
Go to Acts chapter 21. You will see that many of them did the work of evangelists, but this is one that's really identified as an evangelist. The word's there, I should say. Yep. Chapter 21, verse 8. And the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came to Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which is one of the seven, and abode with him. You know one of the seven, you know who that is, don't you? Peter, James, and John picked seven guys of good rapport to do the work what Philip's doing, because Peter, James, and John was doing work of an apostle overseeing certain things. You with me? So if you remember, Philip was a traveling type of preacher back in the book of Acts. And that is the kind of ministry that an evangelist has. He had a sort of ministry that goes in and establishes churches and move on. You need to remember this. Evangelist is not somebody who comes in for a week of meetings.
Yeah, but today, it's a little different, the evangel- when we have churches bringing evangelists in, they're not trying to establish a new church or anything.
That's why they're not evangelists. That you got to remember, evangelist is not the one who comes in for weekly meetings. That's like what you're saying. We'd have them come in and say, hey, we've got evangelist Rob coming in here, you know, yeah. Or evangelist Walt. The thing is, when a man calls himself evangelist and comes in for the weekend, he preaches and tries to stir the people up. That's not evangelist. That's a revivalist, yes. And so there's a difference. But he may have a title of evangelist, but when he comes in, he's not there to stir them people up. He might become there to share a report and say, this is what we're doing there, and this is what, you know, what needs to be done. A revivalist is someone that is reviving things. And most of the people don't have the understand the heading of evangelist, and that's not an evangelist that comes in and does that. Missionaries functions more as an evangelist in a spiritual sense than anything else. And when we get down through here, we got to know who an evangelist is or even a missionary, because it's very, very important. It's someone who gets in and gets people saved and gets them established in local churches. And he gets them functioning, and then he goes out somewhere else and repeats that ministry.
That's the evangelist.
That's the evangelist. Or we can call them missionaries.
Like Billy Graham has a term, evangelist, Billy Graham, because he would go out and preach the gospel.
He would go out and preach the gospel. Yeah. Even the guy up in Akron, what's his name?
Abel.
He's still alive. And he called evangelist sometime?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He would go out. But we got to remember now who you are in Christ and what you know of that Bible. Now, it may not line up with what they was doing then. Yeah, Billy Graham would have been a good evangelist going out and getting people saved and getting things. But did he start local churches? Or did he start organizations?
He was a revivalist.
No, he was evangelist.
Yeah, because they did have churches and they were supposed to funnel the converts into.
Yeah. Yeah. So the thing is, that's the it repeats Acts 14:21. We went over this several times. I usually, when I preach a message, I usually go to this thing right here when you start to start a local church. It says, and verse 21, and when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they return again to Lystra and Iconia and Antioch. You see what they're doing here? They preach the gospel, and then they what? They teach the people. That's edifying the saints and building them up in that faith. You just don't go in there and say, hey, trust Jesus Christ that he died, buried, and rose again, get them saved, and walk out the door. You need to teach them some things. Get the doctrine down in there. And in fact, you follow Paul and you take the example that he had, that Thessalonians had, in just a matter of short months, if you will. He then writes back to them, and the amount of doctrine that they got while he was there, he writes them and says, you know, you know, you know. You know, because here's a guy who won them to the Lord and then got them indoctrinated. Got them grounded in that truth. They grabbed a hold of it quick because they believe the scriptures. You ever notice when you're talking with somebody sometimes, that's just a man's book. You're going to have a hard time for a while to get them to understand, yeah, but this is what it says and this is what it says. I've had my fingers, their fingers shook on internet's face and says, you and your paper God. You know, because I kept quoting scriptures. I kept going back to the Word of God. You know, and people don't like that. The lady that is in that obituary, you know, she didn't believe that this was the Word of God, did she? But yet supposedly she's in her spiritual realm right now.
Well, she is.
You know, but think about it for a minute. You teach them. You win them. Now, the average evangelist, if you think about it, doesn't do that. They go over and want big, large crowds. You know, and like the brother said, you got people funneling in there, don't you? Come on, come and listen to brother so-and-so. You know, he's going to get, you got to come and listen to him. That's what they're doing. But this is the kind of activity evangelists should do in the Bible sense, or a missionary would do. You have to go out and you get people saved and in the Word. If you don't grasp anything at all other than you know Christ died and was buried and rose again for your sins, you're saved, and know that you have the Word. We have to have words from Him to guide us and stuff. He preaches the gospel. Then He teaches the Word. He don't teach circumstances. He don't teach signs and miracles and wonders. But don't they love that, don't they? What we call that? Spiritual walk.
Show
business. They're out there for look at me. And Acts 14:22 says, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must through much tribulations enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. And they go on through some other places here. There, look at verse 25. And when they had preached the word, you see what's going around here preaching? Then they go to Antioch in verse 26, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. They go back to where they were sent out from. So they go out, these evangelists go out, missionaries go out, they preach the word of God, they get people saved, and then they teach them what's in the doctrine, what's in the word. Verse 27, and when they had come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode a long time with the disciples. Notice a couple things in this, what they do. They first went out by the church of Antioch. That's Acts 13. That's where they first was called Christians, by the way. Right? You know that. In Antioch. It wasn't Jerusalem. It was the Antioch. God called them, and then they went out to the local church, and there were a part of a certified, that's where they a part certified them and supported them and sent them out. So if we had somebody here today that really had a desire to go to a mission field, if you will, what we call a mission field, and wanted to go out, we would support that. We would get behind him and say, okay, this is what you're going to do. And we would send him out with what we required him to do, correct? And we would get behind him. And once he went there and supported that and got behind it and done that, he would come back. He wouldn't stay there. And he would report back to the local church. These people are going out to represent the local church. They are your representative, if you will, out to preaching the gospel to people, seeing them to get saved, and gathering them together in local assemblies. It's not an ambassador, is it? No. Even though you're an ambassador, you go out and you represent the Lord Jesus Christ no matter what we do, wherever we go, but this is an evangelist. In other words, they're creating local assemblies. That's important, guys. Mm-hmm. Very important. Because you know something? Even this county here, I think when we moved in it, they had almost 400,000 people in the county. It may be down to 300 some thousand now. Who knows? Okay. Could that be enough to support 5 Grace churches?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And then some, yeah. I mean, every corner of this county, you know, in between the Twin Cities here. Well, we are in between. You know, but you know what I'm saying? You know, I've seen people come and they get fired up and they say, you know, I want to go down here and start something. I said, praise God, hallelujah. When that time comes, we'll support you. Then they get to where, okay, it's work. There's a lot to be done here. And they just said, you know something? I'm better off just fade away. You know, that type of thing. And, you know, I understand that. Because it'd be easy to quit, right? Yeah. They're getting people saved. And then they get them saved. And then they begin to edify them here. And that function under the process of edification for the new believer. That's very important. Listen, we've been here 11 years. 11 years. And I guarantee each one of us is still at different levels of our maturity in Christ. And sometimes we have to go back. And I don't mind that. Because sometimes I have to go back and say, whoa, you know, I get more out of it now than I did over here. That type of thing. It's a process of evocation it's going to affect me for the rest of my life. You know, everybody wants to know about this prophecy program, don't you? We was talking about earlier. You know, they think this president-elect is the Messiah. You know, some of them do, and they're, you know, God's doing this through him. You know, and it's funny because a lot of people says God's controlling this. You know, and I'm like, guys, come on. You know, yeah, think about it. That's Calvinism. You know what I mean? That type of thing. You know, and they said, well, he wasn't in, we like, was he in control when Obama got elected president? Oh, no, he wouldn't. Come on, guys. You know what I'm talking about? So one of the things you got to think about, what is functioning? How do you get that believer built up and established in the Word of God? Then they appointed elders. They ordained elders. They take out of a group of people, men or qualified spiritual leaders, and they appoint them to be leaders, and then they go out to the next place. This evangelist has got a big to do. And just anybody can't do it, can they? So you have to have that desire to say, this is what I'm going to do. And you say, okay, you're qualified, you can do it. We'll get behind you. They are traveling. They get the work established, and then they move on, and then they do the same thing again. You know, they might go around and go to certain places, and then what? They come home. And it's relaxed for a little while. I would. You know, it's almost like a missionary on leave, on furlough. You know, what do you do when you're on leave? Or what should he do? He can go back to those churches where he's been and report and rehearse what God has done. With me? Say, hey man, I just went back down from Tennessee. And there's a church down there we got started, and it's just on fire. Then we came up through Virginia, and they're doing well, and they send their greetings to you. You know, now we're back in Ohio, and it's great to see you guys and appreciate you supporting us, that type of thing. You know what I mean? You go back and you report what you've done. You know, not that, hey, I need another check, Walt. You know what I mean?
Isn't that kind of what Paul was doing in Romans?
I mean, oh, it's,
when he established the church there in Romans, when he came there, is that kind of what he's doing? There's
five churches there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's going house to house and church to church. Establishing the local church. He was doing the work of evangelists. He done all. We looked at that last week, that he had all those offices. Paul did. And he goes back and watch, and he should do that to encourage that local church and its mission, and encourage them to help him to go on and so forth. So if we had Evangelist Walt come in, that he's been out on a missionary and he's been reporting back to us, this is what God's doing, guys. You know, it's working. You know, I got three people in my house now meeting with me instead of one. That's working. It takes some time. And he comes back and he reports that. And he says, thank you. You know what I mean? Not that you're going to revive me. I'm not dead here, guys. You don't need to be revived. You should already know what the work is. So that is what an evangelist is about. Basically, it's a ministry or a church planning. You send somebody out there. They evangelize the lost, and they edify the saints, and organize them together to establish local churches. Because what does it say in Timothy? That the pillar and the ground of the church is what? The local church. See, it's not these big, massive Vatican type of things. You know, I'm serious. Now, each denomination's got one. You know, the Southern Baptists had one. Believe it or not, they had their big organizations. You know, that type of thing. Presbyterians and all, they all had their big organizations. But, you know, the thing is, the issue is the way the mission should work. And when you talk to a missionary, how many ever talked to missionaries? They call them missionaries. Many of you have. You know, I see people going all the time. They're sending their wives and daughters. And you know, we sent our kids down to on a mission trip supposed to went to Guatemala 1 year. Well, we found out the guy that was going to lead them there, he had death threats with his life. So we couldn't send them to Guatemala, so they went to Belize. And I'm scratching my head, of all places in Central America, you know what Belize is? That's a well-to-do country down there that most of the billionaires in the world goes there and lives. And, you know, and yeah, I'm like, they was in a motel, wasn't they? And seeing these, you know, but they did go out and help some people. And I'm like, okay, then, you know, you got the $5 that I sent you with. I got my $5 worth. But I'm thinking about these things. You know what I mean? Most of them goes down there and does some different things. But what you should be interested in, you should be interested in his gospel that he's preaching. And does he preach a clear gospel and plainly? See? Now you're going to say, okay, if I'm going to invest in a missionary, I'm going to make sure. And that's why I very hold off about, you know, we get letters all the time. You guys do too. You know, we want to send, you know, a little Jessica somewhere. And, you know, and you're like, oh, that'd be a wonderful trip for her. You know what I mean? You want to see them do that, right? But the thing is it a gospel clearly? And does he know how to communicate that gospel clearly? Not water it down. Aren't you fed up with enough of that? Be honest with me. Just be clear with the gospel and be satisfied with it, and that's it. If he doesn't, he can't do the job. You've seen what he's supposed to do. But let's send him on a vacation. Let's just call it what it is. You know, oh, you want to go on a vacation? Okay, well, at least you're honest with me. You know, but don't tell me you're going on a mission trip to go down there to work on somebody's truck. Unless that truck's going to carry an evangelist around. A real evangelist. Don't tell me you're going to go out there and build a church and you're going to spend $10,000 to get there, flying down there and staying down there. Why didn't you just send them the money? They would have got more out of that money that you sent them than what you could go down there and... I know, I'm meddling and peddling and all that stuff, but I'm just going to get you to think. I think we do, but sometimes our heart gets pulled on it.
Well, look at the churches that are built in here locally. I'm going to say the Baptist Temple and the Christian Church and everything that they have, these great big mammoth buildings, they could have ended up with a building like we have and do better, you know, with their money.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is when you get to people grounded, you get to people wanting it, you get to people that's backing it, then you go get the building. Sherry and I have been part of that stuff, but we got the building first and didn't have the people. And we got the people, the ground was shifting. They didn't have the doctrine. And next thing you know, there's just a handful of people that are paying for that building. And people don't like that. You know, people don't like commitments. But to be honest with you, you know, that's the thing. And you know, we talk about this stuff all the time, about going out and, you know, me and Sherry going out and get a building, you know, and then you guys will follow us, you know, but then you get mad at me, or you get sick, or you lose your job, you know, that type of thing, and we can't count on that no more. You know, what happens? It's like, whoa, man, I'm going to have to start preaching something else. It happens all the time. Instead of going to two services, they want to go out and get the building. Oh, if we get the building, we can have children's ministries. You know, we talk about that, don't we? You know, having a place for our children. If we had a place for our children, you know, how could it, we could grow? We'll get them in here first and see how they do. You know,
people in here free can have children.
Right, exactly. You know,
we got one child.
There's a room next door. You know, that type of thing. Yeah, we got one child. No, we've got many children. We got many children. Yeah, we do have a children ministry. Just joking, guys.
On this too, like he gave some, so he's sending them. Like the evangelist has to feel like. Has that desire in his heart from God.
Yes.
That he wants to do it, because anybody's like, I'm going to go out and do that. Well, you get out there and you soon come back for more matches.
That's right. People that I talked to that went to seminary school, went to colleges to be a preacher or evangelist, you know, now they're struggling to open up their feed store because they went about it the wrong way. You have to have a desire. And people ask me all the time, when you get a call from God? You know, that's the question. When did God call you? God never did call me, other than that gospel saved me first. Then I started believing that, and I wanted that doctrine inside of me, and I have a desire. The Bible says if a man have a desire, that's different than that phone call from God. You know, jokingly, I got a text from God, you know, seriously. Every one of us got it, but you got to want it, and then you get that doctrine inside of you, and you say, yes, yes, and we acknowledge that, and we don't put a dampener on you, you know what I mean? We say, hey, here's a guy that has a desire to do that. We had a couple guys here do that, you know? We gave them some opportunities to do this and this and this, you know, that type of thing. But you have to have a desire. You ladies too. You have to have a desire to teach. You have to have the desire to get behind your husbands or spouses and stuff, and get behind the work of the ministry. And you know, he might be able to fix trucks and build buildings, this guy, but But the thing is, he isn't a missionary. You with me on that? You can. We need brick and mortar people, don't get me wrong, but he's not out there preaching the gospel, is he? And that's not what evangelist is. In other words, he could be an auxiliary help, couldn't he? Yeah. You know, he could say, okay, we're going to send you out. You're wanting to go to, everybody wants to go to Africa. So we're going to send you to Africa. What part of Africa? You want to go to Somalia?
No.
Why not? There's lost people there.
Too dangerous.
Too dangerous, see? But we'll go to parts of South Africa. We'll go to the Cape. It's dangerous there too. If not probably just as dangerous. So let's go to Kenya. You know, that's, you know, a little bit distance between. We've got people there, guys. Literally have people there spreading this good news of the gospel of the grace of God and teaching right division. But you know what we do? We send, and I'm not deciding our advertisement, by the way, but we do send money each month, this church does, to Grace School of Bible. So we send it there, and we just allow them to send it to the missionaries. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we could send money directly to Des, and he would send it straight over there, because they need Bibles. But if you know that they're doing the work, you can support them. But you make sure you know what they're talking about when you are talking to them. And you want to know whether the guy can preach the gospel, whether he knows the gospel, and his responsibility to that evangelism. Then you want to know whether he knows the Word of God what?
Right.
That's a key for me. Now, they may know a gospel. Well, they better know the gospel, I shouldn't say. But you got to rightly divide the word of truth, because you end up like that panel you was talking about earlier. You know, a group of six, seven guys and one person, and when it all boiled down to, they believed the same thing, but they didn't rightly divide the word of truth. And that's number one. Can he preach the gospel? Number two, can he edify the saints? Does he understand how to build them up in the faith? How does he preach to them? What does he teach them? These are some very, very, very important questions, guys and gals. And at the first time somebody tells you, we don't do anything but preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified, you know what you say? Thank you. Thank you very much. We enjoy talking to you. Yeah. Because if we're going to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified, that's what saves you today. That He's death, burial, and resurrection. With me? It ain't nothing else. But if you think about, if you're not sure what the guy doesn't understand, and he doesn't give you, and he doesn't want to reject you, then you have a chance to sit down calmly with him and share some things. Say, listen, will you just give me some time with you? You know, this is very, very important to me to know what you're doing out there. And I know sometimes people get in these big churches and they want to be a part of that church. And we see a young couple here. Look at them. They're excited to be here. And they got children. You know, our children ministry is going to grow. And we're excited. They're coming in here and they're sitting down. They're conducting themselves, you know, like a nice couple would. And look, they're taking out the trash. You know, they're cleaning up. We can use them. You know, see what I'm saying? You don't do that. They come to you. You sit way back there and you get this gospel in you and you're like, whoa, man, this is exciting. I want to be a part of that. This is the drive. This is the grace motivation. And next thing you start to move up a little more, you know, and you start asking questions and you start getting involved. You had that desire. Not that I think you would be a good Sunday school teacher. Every one of you would be a good Sunday school teacher, but do you want to do it? Do you want to do it because your preacher says it, won't you? And I don't want to let him down. I mean, he's been in a situation. I have. And then you have that drive for a little while, and guess what? You start a treadmill. You start out slow. Hey, I can do this. Let me try this a little bit. The next thing you're like, finished, done, over to the side, got clothes on it. I've seen one use of a one. Many of you cut firewood in the past?
Yeah.
You see that? The one had the treadmill, is outside, had the hole open in his house where the firewood down and stuff, and he was feeding that firewood and it was shooting it down. He's getting used out of that treadmill. That's what usually what happens. So I'm gonna finish up on evangelists right quick. I have something you need to know. See, now you're going to talk. I know you're going out. And if you've got the desire, you need to know some things. So an evangelist goes into an area and establishes local churches. And they stay and they run it. Right? Is that what they're supposed to do?
No.
The answer is no. They don't stay and run it. You go in, you establish local church, and you take the nationals of that place, and you train them to be leaders of their own people. How many cemeteries that you send people to school to teaches them to be preachers, right? And they send them out. They never come back, do they? When you send your kids out to these schools, 9 times out of 10, they don't come back. So the model is, if you looked at the model of Acts 14, as we looked at them, he preached the gospel. Here's how Paul started. He taught, he preached the gospel. He taught them, he confirmed in their soul, he exhorted them, and much tribulations, and then he ordained elders. There's a process there as that evangelist would go out and do. So he might be there for a little while, guys. You know, you may not hear from him for a while, and you think, wait a minute, what's going on? Our bank account's still going down. You know, we haven't heard from Evangelist Walton Wall. It takes some time. You go in and you establish those. Listen, American missionaries went into countries and they went in there and they were their bosses. They became dictators and stuff, and they would run that place forever. And that's what you're not supposed to do that. And then the door began to close and they began to kick the Americans out. Because they wasn't grounded. You with me? You're not bringing that money in here. You're telling us what to do. They wasn't grounded. And that's what happens to churches too. You know, they won't. Listen, there's nothing wrong with programs. There really isn't. You teach the right doctrine, right? There's nothing wrong with music ministries. You sing the right doctrines. You know, if the doctrine's wrong in the words, songs, you change the doctrine. Change the word. Don't change the doctrine. You know, but think about this. You know, they didn't last because they never did the work of the ministry of God called that man to do in that position. So when you send somebody out to the right place, and just like me and the brother was talking today, here's something you got to think about. It will take a long time in some places. And where you live today, where your family lives today, this country is gospel hard. That word gospel is out there in every denomination, isn't it? It's out there. It's hard. And there's a lot of places you can go in the world and people will just be glad to receive it. You ever notice that? You'd be traveling 500 miles from here and sit down and get a bite to eat, Cracker Barrel. And you talk to a girl. And she's ready to receive that gospel. You ever notice that? But you can't talk to the guy that pumps your gas around here. Or the guy behind the counter. Oh, I know that. I'm saved. Well, what do you trust in? That type of thing. It's hard, that is. And there's all kinds of diversions. And you need to pick the ground that you're on. But it's going to be hard. You ever tried to plow or dig a hole in mid-January, February, Northeast Ohio?
Just did.
It's hard, isn't it?
It's hard.
And it's getting harder. You know, you might as well just forget about it. I'm serious. You're not going to... But same way with that gospel heart. Everybody knows that they're saved. That young lady right there, she should have heard the gospel. Maybe she did at one time. I don't know her. You know what I mean?
I hope so.
But what she's been taught, very, very difficult. Father, we thank you for the day. Thank you for the thanksgiving. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Any questions, comments?